All right, lesson 9. This is the reason that this is such an important lesson is that there's a lot of people that if they don't get started on the right foot when it comes to prayer, they will get derailed. There are many Christians that are told that they need to pray, but they don't know how to pray, or they begin to pray and their prayers are not answered in the way they expect, and so they stop praying. There are people that, so when you're leading somebody to Christ and you say, hey, well, you ought to pray, it's very important for them to understand prayer. I've talked to many people, who've said, you know, I used to pray, but I don't pray anymore because I don't pray much anymore. I have trouble praying because, you know, I tried that and the Lord didn't answer my prayers. And they're being sincere about that, and that's great. You know, that's good to be sincere, but it really is the key to understanding prayer is to get the whole mind of God on the matter. And the way that you get the whole mind of God on the matter when it comes to prayer is you've got to look at Scripture. And what I really appreciate about Jeff Musgrave as he goes through this is he gives us a lot of Scripture here. What I appreciate about his, I just was talking to him yesterday, and I told him we couldn't get through all the lessons in time, and he said, that's no problem. The author of that thing was long-winded. And I told him, and it was him, and I told him, I said, well, you know what? I said, I tell you, I appreciate the fact that you're thorough. I really feel like, actually, he is brief as he can be, but he is as thorough as he needs to be. With much of this. So I really appreciate that. And he said, no problem. He said, that happens most of the time. So he said, just continue after I'm done. We'll finish this up. We won't stop. But when he comes in 3 weeks after he's left, we'll just finish up the lessons. And he said, if you've gotten through about half of it, that's what you really need to get through in order to be able to be prepared to do what we're doing. So anyway, I'm excited about having him and getting to know him better. And he's had 30 years of pastoral experience, and I plan to pick his brain a lot. And I'm looking forward to I really believe that if you're able to make time for that, any of those lectures, I really would encourage you to do that. I actually think that the most important lecture to do, if you can get to any of them, I think the most important one is the 8 o'clock one on Saturday morning, which is probably the hardest one to make because nobody wants to get up that early on Saturday morning. But I would think it would be very hard if you don't, that's that first hour is sort of the orientation. So I would think it'd be a bit hard to follow everything if you don't get that first hour. I could be wrong about that, but I think that's the case. Now, you say, well, I can't make it, so I should not, for that first hour, so should I not make it all? Of course not. You'll get all kinds of things. But I really would encourage you to, I guess the best thing I could tell you is just really take the plunge. You know, just it's going to be a long weekend. It's going to be hard. I'm not going to, you know, there really anything in life that's valuable has cost, and there's going to be some cost to it. I appreciate those who have signed up and things. And if you can't, I'm not trying to give you a guilt trip here at all. But it'll be. But just really try. Let's just try it for Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday. Just try to. You know, it's sort of like a marathon. You just work through it, and you get it done, and you know there's an end in sight, and you know he ain't going to be back for 5 years or whatever. So, I mean, I don't know if it'll be 5 years. I actually hope it'd be earlier, but he's very busy, so I would imagine something like that. Anyway, so I just would encourage you to take the opportunity that we have since when he's here. he says that prayer is talking to God and is essential for living in a close relationship with Him. And there's no question that you can't grow spiritually if you aren't praying. In fact, your level of Christian growth, the rate at which you grow spiritually probably has more to do with your level, your frequency of prayer than maybe anything else. Maybe, but it's God's Word too, obviously, studying it. But it is very important to be praying to the Lord. What does God invite us to do? He says this, casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. Now, aren't you glad that Jeff Musgrave started there? Okay, Because there isn't a soul in this room that doesn't have cares. Every one of us have things that we are concerned about. Every one of us have sometimes these cares have weight to them. So the Bible actually says, be careful for nothing. So what our responsibility is to do is to actually to retain the care, but give the weight over to the Lord. I have a whole other message on that. But it does say, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. And so it's important for us to understand it. He says he loves drawing you close to in this way and making a relationship with him dynamic and intimate. What does he mean by dynamic and intimate? Any ideas?
Personal.
Okay, intimate is personal. Good. Close and personal. What is dynamic? Good. What's the opposite of dynamic? Yeah, good. Okay, the opposite of dynamic is static. Like, it doesn't change. It's not ongoing, growing, moving forward kind of a thing. It's like a static web page. Okay, a static web page means there's no moving parts of any kind. It's just static. A dynamic web page would be one that's moving around, has things that are moving. So God wants us to, our relationship to with him to be dynamic and intimate. Jesus taught his disciples about prayer by teaching them from the Lord's Prayer. So where does God's will originate? Where does God's will originate? According to Matthew 6, yeah, in heaven is the answer, okay? According to Matthew 6, 9 through 10. And it is because that's where God's presence is. God's will comes from his presence. How do we get God's will down to earth?
Prayer.
Right, prayer. Okay. All right. This is important how he starts off. The whole purpose of prayer is for God's will to be done on earth as it already is done in heaven. Okay? That's the purpose of prayer. It's not for me to get my will done. It's for me to get God's will done. Right? Okay? So understanding that is important. So praying for a Rolls Royce might not be God's will. Right? I'm against Rolls Royce. Whatever it is. Praying for a nice big house, a big mansion on the water or something. Well, that isn't necessarily God's will. So we're praying prayer. The purpose of prayer is that God's will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is God's will done in heaven? How is God's will done in heaven? Perfectly, right? It's flawlessly done in heaven. How is God's will done on earth?
Blindly.
Yeah. Not so perfectly, right? I mean, you look around, and why is that? Yeah, because of sin, because of the fall. Who are we in our relationship with Jesus? Who are we? Okay, let me give you a little hint. Yeah, okay, so they're bolded, so all you got to do is tell me what's in bold. Okay, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What does that mean? Okay, that's true. It's more than that, though. What else is involved? Yes, right. Okay, so we inherit something because we are heirs to something. Okay, what are we heirs to? We're heirs to eternal life, according to Scripture. Okay. Yes, exactly. I mean, just think about this. We are joint heirs with Christ. It's an incredible thought that if you think of a will and Christ is on the top and you're across the page on the other side, I mean, it's pretty incredible. And Christ went to the cross for that. What does the verse tell us about the ministry of prayer for today? What does the Father think about us, or how does he feel toward us? He loves us, right? Okay. He loves us. So let's just factor all this in. If prayer is God's will becoming a reality on earth as it is in heaven, if that's what we are doing when we're praying, and we're also doing it, we're also allowed to pray or given the privilege of prayer because God loves us, what is that saying? It's saying that God's will is consistent with God's love for us. God's will for us is consistent with God's love for us. Okay? You can't experience any more of God's love for you than to be exactly where He wants you to be in His will. How does that happen? It's through prayer. Okay? Does that make sense? It's simple, but it's important to understand. Next page. What is prayer? If you had to use one word, what one word would you use to describe prayer? Conversation. Okay, let's think about this for a minute. I'm not saying you're wrong about that, but how do we receive revelation from God? Okay, it's through His Word that we receive revelation. So it's really essentially one direction. I mean, there is witness of the Spirit stuff we'll get into, but what are we, I'll just give it to you. Asking, okay? It really is what prayer is. Prayer is asking, okay? If you look at the Lord's Prayer, when He set up His model prayer, it's all asking. From the very, Our Father which art in heaven, that's an introductory here, Father, we're talking to You. After that, it's all asking. Even hallowed be Thy name is asking. And Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven is asking. It's all asking after that. Okay? And so it's important for us to understand that. And we have here multiple times in context with asking. We also have the other word, what? Receiving. Okay? So ask and receive. Do you get the idea that when we ask for something from God, we should expect to receive it? Do you see that from the passage? From these passages? Well, the answer is yes. What's the key, though? You've got to ask for the right thing, right? You've got to ask for something that's according to His will. If you ask for something that's according to your will and against His will, do you really want Him to give it to you?
No.
Right? Okay? You don't want Him to give you something that is according to your will, but it's not according to His will. Because you don't know what's best for you. Neither do I. I mean, none of us do, right? We don't know what's best for us. It's just like a little kid wanting a whole carton of ice cream in one sitting. And mommy says, no, you cannot. You can only have one scoop or something. Why? Well, mother knows better. The kid doesn't know what's good for him. And very candidly, we often don't know what's best for us. We think we do, but we really don't. And God does. God always knows. Number six, what spiritual place do we enter when we pray? The throne of grace. What is grace? Right, unmerited favor. Why do we need grace? Yeah, we're messed up. That's good. Exactly. We're sinners and we're fallen. So the way that we receive, not positional grace in our justification, we already have that when we know Christ as our Savior, but it's something we would call efficacious grace or experiential grace. The way we receive that is through prayer. What do you suppose is a natural prayer? Really is, to some degree anyway, a natural response to a heart attitude. What would you suppose that heart attitude would be? Okay, that's not wrong, certainly, but it's not the Okay, yeah, you're getting warmer there. Yeah, humility. Humility saying, I need God. In every area of my life, I need the Lord. It's dependency on the Lord versus dependency on myself. Those who are dependent on themselves will not pray. Those who realize their dependency on the Lord, that's when you pray. So humility is a necessary requirement, really, in order to pray for any... For really, you know, that's why some of us are so easily pray at the last resort. It's like God finally gets our attention and beats us down till we realize we can't do it on our own. We finally pray after that. Because that, what did God do? Well, he sort of humbled us. Wouldn't it be better just to be humble in the beginning without him having to beat us down to the humility? To just understand that we need him and that we can't depend on ourselves. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So how does God want us to pray? Always. With perseverance. We're going to persevere in our prayer. It's going to be constant prayer. How do you always pray? Yes.
Just constant communication with the Lord. And everything that you go through in your day, problems for, not to veer off the path, but to keep your eyes on him, constant communication.
I think
everything with the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the key is it just becomes a natural response. I mean, by the way, all of us fall short of this, right? I mean, I'll be the first to tell you that I do not always pray about everything. We should be progressively moving forward in this, okay? But if we are always praying always, it really is. We come up against a challenge, we just immediately pray about it. We're going through our day and we're enjoying something, we pray about that and thank the Lord for it. We're going through, I mean, whatever it is we're going through, we're praying about that. We're getting up in the morning and we're looking ahead at the day and saying, I don't know how in the world I'm going to get everything done I'm supposed to get done, and we need to pray about it. Or you're looking at insurmountable situations, or you're just looking at, or you're looking at the day and you're going, wow, it all looks like it's going to be smooth today. First of all, watch out. But secondly, you know, well, thank the Lord that you're going to have a smooth day. Or after you have a smooth day, thank the Lord for that. I mean, it's just a constant relationship that's going on. It's sort of like, this is a negative example, which isn't a good one, but I'll use it anyway. It's sort of like, you know, these teenagers that text constantly, you know, like they're always texting to each other, and you know, like they got this ongoing, like they have a girlfriend or something, and they have this ongoing text throughout the day, going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Well, that's not healthy. But if we had an ongoing text with the Lord every day, that would be healthy. Okay, and that's really kind of what it was. Maybe a good illustration. Sure. Mm-hmm. Amen. We often don't think about what we're doing, do we? We're just so busy doing, and we think about it later or something. But ponder the path of our feet, and let all our ways be established. While you're pondering, pray. That's good. Prayer is God's appointed way of obtaining what we need. Okay, let's define need for a minute. What is a need? What is a biblical need? Okay, what's a non? What when we think of just the word need, what do we think of? Yeah, the only way to describe need is really some other word it's not. So because need isn't, there are certain words that are not reducible. They're sort of irreducible words, and need is one of them. Okay, but I can give you a good working biblical definition in a minute. But a need is something that we would usually think of as necessary for life. Food, you have to have food, you have to have clothing, those kinds of things. When we think about biblically, what is a need? Okay, one at a time. Yes?
I was saying that everything we have is a need for us because it's not, it's a granted to us. So basically, mm-hmm. we have to seek the Lord for even food and health. And
mm-hmm. I mean, that's why Christ said, give us this day our daily bread. Harry?
To be staying in His will.
Yeah, I think that's really the key. I think the need is, it's, you're praying for something that you see as a deficiency in God's will that you want God to meet. Do you follow what I'm saying there? For instance, let's say that I can think of a lot of examples, but I'm trying to think of one I can share. Let's say that you have a strained relationship with a teenage child. Okay. And let's say, I didn't mean to take Timmy. I really did. It wasn't. Anyway. And sort of it's estranged, and you're looking at the situation and you're going, you know, if he's going to be able to be close to the Lord, we need to have this patched up or something like that. Well, that's a need, okay? Because to the best of your knowledge, God loves that you're a teenage boy or girl, and it would be for the furtherance of the kingdom for that to happen. So a need is something that needs to happen in order for God's will to take place, for God's will to take place on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we don't pretend to be all-knowing about these things, right? And really, God's timing is very different than our timing most of the time. But just to really understand that a need is something that is necessary for God's will to be done. That's a need. Okay. And that's what we're supposed to be praying for. You follow all that? I really think that that's, if you think of a need as something that you want, or even something you think you need, frankly, that doesn't matter. It's what God thinks you need. Okay. And isn't it nice to know that the same God to whom you are praying His will to be done knows what's best? Okay. That's important to understand. Prayer is God's appointed way of obtaining what we need. What happens when we don't pray? What happens when we don't pray?
We don't receive.
We don't receive. Why? Okay. Why is it necessary for us to ask? Yes, because... Okay. God commands it, but... Because... Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's a good point. I think it really has to do with the fact that God is glorified. When we see a need, when we see something, when God even gives us the wisdom to be able to... And by the way, if we don't have the wisdom, what should we be asking for? James 1, we ask for wisdom. But when God gives us the wisdom to be able to see something that is necessary to take place in order for God's will to be done, and we pray that, and we see God meet that need, that's incredible, and it gives God glory. That's why He allows you to see it, frankly, because it gives God glory. If you just blow through everything in life, and God's not part of the equation, or you're not looking for how can I pray according to God's will, then the problem becomes you really won't be living a life that glorifies God. You won't be living a life that is reflecting on the fact of God working in your life. So I think that the reason that God included this this responsibility of prayer for us is because it helps. That's how we glorify Him, is by praying and seeing these needs met. Well, that's true. That's right. Right. You don't have a relationship without prayer. That's, you know, you need communication in order to have a relationship. So, yeah, that's true. When the early church had a problem, too many responsibilities and too few workers. We've never seen that before. How did the apostles view the importance of prayer? Don't stop, right? Are we ever tempted to stop praying to get something done? Well, by the way, it's not wrong to get something done, okay? I got to tell you, I struggle with this, especially lately. You all got my emails. I have done so much administrative work this week. It's just incredible. And I do wrestle with it. We do need more deacons here, I'll tell you that. I'm just going to tell you right out the gate. We have good deacons, folks we have, but as busy as they are, as busy as life is, we need more. Because I really should not, I really need to make sure I'm preaching and praying, to be honest with you. It's not that I can't do any administrative work, I can. The Bible calls the pastor an overseer, so there's some administrative work implied there. But when it gets to the level where it's actually competing with prayer or preaching or studying God's word or even counseling and working with people, discipling, it becomes, there's a real tension there. And they just said, we cannot leave the ministry of the word and prayer to go serve tables. We've got to have deacons. So God created an entire office so that pastors could keep praying. You follow that? Now, it doesn't mean that a pastor stays in his office or study or cave or whatever and prays all day long with no interaction with anybody. I don't think that's what really is intended there. But my prayer life increases greatly as I work with people, very candidly. And often the greatest ministry that I have as I work with people is just knowing their needs and praying for them. That's really true. There are times I go, I don't know what to do, Lord, but I just pray that you would work here. And there are things that God does that are quite clearly Him. And so so we do have to remember that. And so the whole point that Jeff is putting this verse in here for is really just how high of a priority prayer is in the ministry. It is like, it's really vital. It's more important than meeting widows' needs. And that's pretty important, right? Meeting widows' needs is pretty important. Meeting helpless. I mean, the Bible actually says over James that if you want to pure religion but before God and the fatherless, or pure religion, you guys know the verse where it talks about the fatherless and the widows. Sorry, I usually can quote it. It says that's pure religion. Well, prayer is more important than that. Okay, so it puts you, it explains how important it is. The word prayer is used over 25 times in conjunction with Jesus' earthly ministry. When did Christ pray? Okay. He rose up early in the morning and he prayed. And he's going to pray at night too, later on the next verse there, but okay. I really think that, you know, I don't know biblically if we can absolutely say that it's mandated for us to have time with the Lord in the morning, but it sure is close. I mean, the example of Christ is that he got up in the morning. It's almost as if the way the passage reads, before anybody else gets up, and prays. And if you are having, I will tell you that there is a great, great level of strength and focus that comes when you get up before everybody else, okay, or the majority of people. When we were out in Ocean City, I got up one time really early. Like, I think I scared Elizabeth half to death because I woke up. She woke up and I wasn't there. I went down to the beach at 4:30 or something. There's no one. There is nothing. I mean, it's like there is literally. I had my flashlight, but I mean, there was not a soul on that beach. I got my chair and I had a flashlight and I had my Bible and a notebook, and I mean, there's just like no one. I was so peaceful. You know, people just make a lot of noise. So it was just me and the Lord out there. I felt like the whole world was empty. It's not really true. It wasn't, but it felt like that. So I really would encourage you to get alone with the Lord. Alone. There's really a strength in that. All right. It is time. 8 o'clock. And I need to get my kids home and get to bed so they can get up and do school tomorrow. And we got to get moving on that. So anyway, good discussion. We'll continue this next Wednesday, Lord willing.